Welcome to the Gold Rim Podcast with your hosts, Sophia Garcia and Tascan Arisha. Tune in as we interview those affected by childhood cancer, gather perspectives, and help others find comfort in their expertise.
Today, we'll be discussing commonly asked questions about childhood cancer and their answers. So I felt that it's important to talk about it, especially because not a lot of research has been done about childhood cancer, and not a lot of the research funding is going towards being able to find that research. And oftentimes, parents have a lot of questions, especially if their child is facing cancer. So I feel like it's important to address those questions.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I think in like the media and just in general, we hear a lot more about like cancer in general, like just kind of, or at least in school for me, like I've just more learned the science behind cancer, but not really like different, like the division between like adult and childhood cancer. So I think it's really important to talk about, especially since we are the podcast of CKF, which is like kind of targeted towards childhood cancer patients. So I think it's important that given our audience, we like address these questions. And there definitely are more questions, so we could definitely do like multiple parts, but this is just questions that we found online given like what we found in our research.
So I think this one is pretty interesting that I found was the gold ribbon and what it symbolizes. So apparently it's because gold is a precious material and children are the most precious treasures. And it's a perfect image highlighting the importance of beating childhood cancer. And I think I found that interesting because a lot of times we associate the color pink with like breast cancer, but we often don't see the color gold, which kind of relates back to that whole idea about how a lot of times childhood cancer is not talked about enough. But I think I found that interesting that the color gold represents childhood cancer.
Yeah, I think that's also important to talk about given we're the Gold Rim podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like with what you originally mentioned, I guess where you were talking about how there's like not that much research like with childhood cancer, a lot of questions that I found, like one of them was, why don't we have a cure for childhood cancer yet? And I found out, like, I already knew that childhood cancer didn't get that much research, but I found that it's only a tiny fraction of the funding that adult cancer research receives, which I thought that both like adult cancer research and childhood cancer research didn't get like enough research. But it turns out that like childhood cancer research receives like a lot less funding than adult cancer research. And just like this made me think about how important it is for like nonprofit organizations like CKF to exist, because the fundraising and like nonprofit organizations that spread awareness about the lack of funding, and just like anyone can get involved and kind of spread awareness in this area. And that's so important because we need to like make a difference to provide more funding so that more like research can be done. And then another answer to that question I found was that childhood cancers are often considered too rare to receive research funding, which I found pretty surprising, because I think there's like, just, I don't think just because something is rare doesn't mean it should receive funding. I think obviously if something starts appearing, like that means that it could appear again. So I think that's important to talk about. And then the third answer I found to that question was that there are many different major types and subtypes of childhood cancer. So it's like really hard, especially since there's like so little funding going to research in comparison to like adult cancer research. It's like so spread out that it's kind of hard to find an effective like treatment so far.
So I'm glad that you brought up that childhood cancer is like so vast that there's only, what I found was that there's 12 major types and 100 subtypes. And I, according to the research that I found, even with the amount of research that we may have or the amount of advancements we've had in the past few decades, it's hard to find a cure that targets every single type of childhood cancer. And another thing that I found was what causes childhood cancer. And I feel like a lot of times we don't talk about the causes for that. But what I found was that 4 to 8% of pediatric cancer occurs within a known genetic problem, and more than 100 genetic syndromes with the risk of cancer in childhood are known. So I think a lot of times when we talk about adult cancer, we tend to focus on a lot of like habits, like a lot of times we associate like smoking having to be with lung cancer, but we don't talk a lot about what may cause childhood cancer. Because a lot of times what I found was that parents tend to blame themselves. And I feel like with more research, we can kind of figure out that it really isn't something they can control.
Yeah, I also that was like on the site that I looked at, that was the first question that came up, like what were the causes? And one misconception that like you mentioned was that like people thought that childhood cancers could be caused by like behavioral or environmental factors like smoking or overexposure to the sun or exposure to toxic chemicals, but like mostly they're from like randomly acquired DNA mutations. And then I also found like something I didn't know before was that some childhood cancers develop before the child's even born. So a lot of it is very random. And yeah, I guess I can also do another question I found. One other one I found was like people that weren't like patients or family members of patients, they just wanted to know like how they could help families facing cancer, even if it's not in their like personal lives, like families they know, even if it's just like in a neighborhood or someone that's a friend of a friend. And some answers that this site acquired from different cancer, like families affected by cancer, or that ways it could help was dropping off meals, offering to run errands, even if it's like really simple things that you would think would not take that much time, like because we do it so often, like grocery shopping or picking up like library books or taking like kids to school that aren't the ones that are being affected by cancer. Like little things like that can help a lot, especially when you're in like early stages and like it, when you're throughout the entire process, like at the beginning. You have a lot of questions. You have to spend a lot of time in the hospital. And with treatment, you're spending even more time there. So just helping with little things can help a lot. And then the last answer I found was that it's like sending mail, whether it's like photos or stickers or cards or letters or like gift cards or other gifts. They're like it can be really nice for like the kids to open up with their families. And yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important that people stay in touch with families that have children that have cancer and to make sure to offer to run errands for them or any regular tasks to free up their time and schedule. Another thing that I found was a lot of times parents ask how long is the treatment for childhood cancer, and that varies based on the type and subtype. A lot of times we focus on chemotherapy a lot, but sometimes they may require just like a single surgery or maybe like a few rounds of radiation or maybe like as we said a few months of chemotherapy or even an interesting one is stem cell transplant. And but it just kind of shows how vast childhood cancer truly is and how there's so many different types of treatments possible. But a lot of times from the research that I found, parents are afraid to take the next step in being able to have these treatments. A lot of times they think that the treatment may be toxic or they may not help the child. But what I found was that a lot of times doctors, they kind of urge you to have these treatments because we've had so many advancements in the past few decades that it's important to reach out for help and to have the line of communication with your doctor and healthcare team.
Yeah, and also just in regards to that, there are a lot of different doctors you can talk to. Like you don't have to settle with one doctor, but just kind of seeing what the different options are, because there's always going to be some like type of treatment or like a lot of times, well, not every time there's treatment, but I know that there are like trials that people like kids can be entered in, and they'll be like running different like they'll be testing certain like treatments. So there's always like a path to take, but it's important to like get on the path early, especially if because cancer is something that like with time worsens without treatment. And then one other question I found was that people were asking or wondering if it was safe for them and their child to be around a child with cancer, like people that weren't affected by it being to being around like families that were affected by it. And this one I found like kind of relatable because I know that in my personal life, like when I was really young and I did have like classmates that were dealing with cancer or their family members were dealing with cancer. I feel like we aren't really, that's not something we're taught because it just seems right now like so obvious to us that it wouldn't be contagious. But a lot of like young people do think it's contagious. And because of that, there's like a lot of stigma around like telling young kids about childhood cancer or like explaining it to them. But just like the answer is that cancer is not contagious at all. And there's not a risk that you or your child will like catch cancer. But also, an important thing is that, like, if you are visiting a childhood cancer patient, you should make sure that you like are practicing good hygiene, like washing hands, and also only visiting if you're like completely healthy and not like having any like colds or sicknesses, because you can like put the patient in danger, because like small stitches, like holds, could like really harm them because their immune system is usually weaker when they're going through treatments.
I'm glad that you brought up that idea about how there's this stigma around explaining childhood cancer to other people, and how a lot of times we don't explain it enough to children. I think that kind of relates back to like the research that I found on should we talk about cancer with the children, and I found that it's important to have an honest communication, because it's a helpful way to address a cancer diagnosis for both the child suffering from cancer, but also the children around the patient. And that question should be answered honestly. I think we did an episode previously on whether or not children should be aware of their peers who are suffering from cancer and what they should or should not know. And I think one of the main answers that we found was that children, they should be able to be given the choice of whether or not they want to know, and that they should have the necessary medical information about their peers suffering from it, or if they're suffering from cancer as well. So they have like the option to choose from the various choices that their healthcare team may provide for them.
Yeah, and I think we also discussed this in the past, like you said, but a lot of times, like, going through cancer can be very isolating, so it's important that the kids around a cancer patient are, like, educated on the topic, and it's not, they're not, like, scared of it, because you don't want to isolate them even more. Like, you want them to have the same friends and family that they can talk to, like, that they always have. And also, just, like, I feel like we've also talked about how a lot of times it can seem like everything's changing when a child is going, or their families are going through, like, a cancer diagnosis and treatment. So I think it's really important that we teach more, we like kind of lessen the stigma around childhood cancer, for especially with young children. Like, there's always obviously an appropriate age to tell them about it, but I think it should be talked about more. And then in kind of relating to that, one other question I found was, like, why do kids with cancer lose their hair? And I remember when I was younger, just knowing, like, having even just family members that were dealing with cancer, and like seeing how they were losing their hair, and like kind of wondering why, and it kind of seemed like scary to me because I didn't really know what was going on. And I now know that it's caused by like multiple rounds of chemotherapy through like research. But I think that's also just a reason why it's really important to talk to kids about it, because a lot of people don't understand that chemotherapy, like, because it's working to like target cancer cells and like destroy like edit. Well, chemotherapy destroys like any fast growing cells, which includes cancer cells, but it also includes like the cells that make up like hair follicles. So I think that's just an important distinction that some people need. Like, it's just important that everyone knows, kind of.
Yeah. And also relating back to that whole idea about children with cancer being treated differently, I think I found it interesting that a lot of the questions that I found during my research was, do children with cancer need to be treated differently than their friends or siblings? And I think because of how frequent I saw that question, it kind of makes me wonder why it's frequent in the first place. And I feel like it's because people have genuine concern about whether or not they should talk about cancer with children. And I think it's because of the stigma surrounding it, but also because of the misconceptions that they have about whether or not like previous connections with other people get affected because a child has cancer all of a sudden. And what I found was that behavior and academic expectations, they should always stay consistent. You shouldn't have to change how you act with a child with cancer because you think that they may want you to act differently. But that's not true, because it makes them, as you said, it makes them feel more isolated, and they still want to be treated the same way that they were treated before. And going back to that whole academic expectation, a lot of times parents, they question, should a child be able to go to school with cancer? And the answer to that is that sometimes they may need to be out of school for a period of time, but there are other options. There are like home instructors that may be provided by the school for the child to be able to keep up with their current work. And I think we talked about it in a previous episode where how a child can deal with school while also suffering from cancer. And I feel like it's important to still have that academic expectation for them so then they don't also feel isolated within the school environment, because the school does make up a lot of their time. And so I feel like it's important to keep that new normal for them.
Yeah. And also with that, like a kind of another side of it, obviously, like childhood cancer patients will be getting like more attention because they are dealing with like a health crisis. So it's important that they get like adequate and like sufficient like attention and support. But also just trying to create that like normal environment and not trying to make everything change, because at that moment, like everything kind of is changing and you want to kind of maintain the normal, like as you're saying. And then one other question I found that was more personal was where parents are wondering, like, if it was okay to ask their doctors questions because they wanted to be more involved and knowledgeable and like more helpful like in the process. Because like a lot of times like this where it is like, because childhood cancer is mostly caused by random genetic mutations. So like I think that could create a feeling of helplessness almost for the family members of the childhood cancer patient. But yeah, I guess just there's no like obviously like, fact of answer to that, but just like the basic answer I would say was like yes, it's okay to ask questions. Like obviously you don't want to like overwhelm the doctor, but that's why like other staff members exist in the hospital, and I think we've mentioned this before, but like a cancer care team usually exists as well. And then like some questions like that you can ask could pertain to like diagnosis and treatment and also side effects and support, because there's various different aspects like within a cancer care team, but some of them do like include therapy and having psychologists there as well. So there's definitely a lot of questions you can ask in the area.
Yeah, and I feel like it's also important to ask about financial aid or like the financial cost. I found that a lot of times parents are worried about sorry, managing the cost for their child's cancer care and who can help them for it. And I feel like that's also important to discuss with their healthcare team. And also, like as you said, talk about support systems and support services for their child or for the family. Sometimes the family has to deal with the emotional impact of childhood cancer. And just in general, if they have any questions or problems, who they should be able to call.
Yeah, I definitely think we've talked about this before, but it's just important to stay in contact with like cancer care teams because they can offer a lot of insight. And like some questions I found on St. Jude Children's Research Hospital that you can ask like doctors or anyone for diagnosis for like what type of cancer does my child have? Like, can you explain my child's pathology report, which is just laboratory test results, and also imaging results such as like CT, MRI, or PET scan. Because it's important for you to like know what's going on, because a lot of it is confusing and very science-based. So yeah, and then also just asking if you could seek a second opinion, because
Yeah.
a lot of times in the hospital there are multiple doctors under one department, like in this case it would be like children's like oncology, so you can definitely seek second opinions within the hospital, but then also you can also go to like other hospitals to seek second opinions as well.
Yeah, I think the whole idea about second opinion is important. A lot of times, parents may not feel comfortable with their like current healthcare team or their doctor to be able to seek out more help. But I feel like it's beneficial to have like maybe a second opinion, or if they don't feel maybe right with the opinion that they currently have with their current doctor, they can always reach out for more help. And I think there's no harm in that. I feel like a lot of times there's also like this sort of stigma that they can't ask other doctors because they have a current doctor right now, but it's always helpful to have like a second opinion.
Yeah. And then in terms of like treatment, some questions I found that people could ask were like, what are treatment options? Which I think we touched on a little bit. Like, just there's a lot of different ones, like various surgeries, chemotherapies, stem cell transplants, like a lot more. And then also like who will be a part of my child's like cancer care team, because you definitely want to like use all the resources that your hospital has. I think we also like in our first episode, we talked to a former cancer patient, like a survivor named Michelle, and she was saying how her hospital didn't offer any options for like therapy or meeting with psychologists. So definitely when you are looking for doctors and like options, making sure that the cancer care team, if possible, that you find has like many different resources, because you want to be able to utilize as many as possible, because it is a process that's it affects more than just physical. It's like takes a big mental toll. So it's important to have like therapists and psychologists you can talk to. And there's also a lot more aspects to effects. So also just asking more about the cancer care team in general.
Yeah, and I think it's just important to understand that, oh, like the patient's needs, they may change over time. And so there may be different treatment options or maybe different support systems that they may need in the beginning compared to the end of their treatment plan. And that's completely okay. It's just really important to understand that their needs may change. And that's also important to understand as someone who's trying to help a family with cancer. What I found was if you're trying to help someone with a family facing cancer, you can drop off a meal, like you said, or like help them with childcare or run errands for them. But it's also important to ask them questions, or especially as you said, if you're planning to visit, ask what safety measures you should follow to be able to keep the child safe. And also to always remember them even in the lighter months of their treatment. And as I said, as their needs change over time, they'll still appreciate that you've been there for them throughout the entire treatment plan.
Yeah. And also in terms of like considering treatments, like what we were saying before, it's also really important to ask about like side effects, and not only like short-term side effects, but also like long-term, because you want to think about like the future of your child's life as well. And there's also like a lot of different questions you can ask regarding treatment, but yeah, I definitely would recommend the St. Jude's like Children's Hospital as a resource. Like their website contains a lot of information and questions that and with their answers. So yeah, I would definitely recommend that as well. But then also just in regards to like the cancer care team, again, a lot of times there are like financial advisors too, like just within hospitals. So also working with those if you can, and trying to find those or seek those out, even if it's not within your hospital, like seeking those out outside of your hospital to help. But it also is important to understand that that's not available for everyone, and not everyone can afford that. So also just seeking like resources online that are like free, or just doing research online to educate yourself more on the topic. So that about wraps up our episode. If you have any other questions, make sure to check out the link in our bio. We have a form where you can fill out like different episode ideas that you want to see, and we can definitely implement those in the future or do another part of commonly asked questions, because this time it was mostly like research based, like online. But if you have your own questions, we can definitely like research for you and put an episode. But yeah.
If you or someone you know are looking to support childhood cancer patients and help them experience a better childhood but are stuck on how, Cancer Kids First may be the answer for you. Cancer Kids First is a nonprofit organization started by high schooler Olivia Zane that aims to improve the childhoods of cancer patients. Through volunteer work, donations, fundraising, the creation of this podcast, those working with Cancer Kids First work to further its mission. If you're interested, go to www.cancerkidsfirst.org/get involved to get involved.
Another way to support the mission of Cancer Kids First is to listen to our podcast and follow us on our Instagram and TikTok at The Gold Room Podcast and Twitter at @TGR_onair. You can also get in touch with us through our email, thegoldroompodcast@gmail.com. Episodes will be airing 2 times a month. Now we'll be moving on to our Sunday trivia shoutouts. Every other Sunday on our Instagram at The Gold Room Podcast, we host trivia, and people that play to the end get shoutouts in our next podcasts. This week's shoutouts are Vivian, Nikki, Princesses Against Cancer, Eva, Igo, Lexi, Sibilia, Valentina_HennaOg, Champs_, Dong_Kelly, Mahir Sakar, Candice.Vertorius, Abby_08, Olivia.Dotty, Kira_Panito.10, Aaron_DLT, Nana.Grover, and Ares Ordonez.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Gold Room Podcast.
If you have any ideas for or want to be involved with future episodes, make sure to check out the link in our Instagram bio.
Have a nice day, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.